It's showtime.
Carl is brought to you by Hall Financial. And also, he's on the Hall Financial Zoom line. And Carl is not in his normal, very charming studio. Where are you, Carl?
Guys, I look good, but you guys have never looked better. Wow, this YouTube show is amazing. I'm impressed.
You know how much time I spent on the lighting today?
I'm in the Gulf. I'm sorry, what's that?
I just spent a lot of time on the lighting today.
Looking good, buddy. Looking good.
You're so full of shit.
Where are you, Carl?
I'm in the big room. We're on the Gulf Coast here in Florida. I'm in an Airbnb, and I'm sorry that it's echoey, but I wanted to look good. I didn't want to sound good.
Come on, your house sucks.
Are you sending a message to Chad while you're down there? Are you down there to jump him or something?
Oh boy.
Oh, he better watch out for me.
I don't know where we're going today because we talked about a few things. They all sounded great to me. What the hell is going on?
Before we go there, I have to tell you a story. So I got into Florida last night. We went to a restaurant. We sat at the bar. The bartender's wearing a Tiger's hat.
Oh, okay.
So I said, oh, you're from Detroit.
Recording in progress.
Sorry about that.
He goes, I left Detroit in 1995. I said, oh, I have some friends who do morning radio there. You know, maybe you've heard of the Drew and Mike show. And he goes, nah, I don't know about that. And then totally unprovoked, he goes, but I'm a Dave and Chuck the Freak guy.
Oh, yeah.
He left Detroit in 95
and he's a Dave and Chuck guy? Well, I guess they're
not always down there.
They're on in Florida. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I hope you didn't tip him much, Carl. Jeez.
I took the 20 right back. Like, what?
Oh, no. We don't have anything against Dave and Chuck. They just stole our jobs.
Ribbon.
Ruined our lives. But no, actually, I'm
going to have more YouTube subscribers. Right, right.
Positive. Well,
don't have to do St. Patrick's Day remotes. Yeah.
They have less more than they had yesterday because we're now at 10,500, I think, or 5,500.
Yeah.
So we're behind by 10,100.
We're gaining.
And we're gaining faster on Dave and Chuck than I am on Adam Rich in the Twitter department.
That's true.
So it looks like Adam Rich might be the tougher long-term battle. We'll see how this thing
we're in it for the long haul.
Pans
set
out.
Set your sights higher. Try to beat me, WATP, with 18.5, I think, we're at right now.
Well, let me get to Dave and Chuck first. Well, first I got to get to some other people. I mean, we're nowheresville, but we're trying. We are gaining subscribers, so we're very proud of that. But anyway, yeah, we were talking David Lee Roth. I mentioned Emrata. In fact, I'm surprised you haven't brought Emrata to the WATP show because I think she would kill.
Oh, her podcast is a train wreck. I totally agree with you on that. But there's so many people to talk about. And actually, one guy, I don't know if we've talked about him on this show, is Bert Kreischer, who's been making the rounds lately.
Oh, he's everywhere lately. Seriously, I've been seeing him do... Oh my God! He did Dan Le Batard. He's just doing he's doing everybody's show right now. Making
he's got a special on Netflix. That this is another one. Netflix is trying to make me watch it. Like the preview keeps popping up, and I sit there and watch it. You know, he's shirtless, and I'm sitting there going, I don't get this. I don't understand what is funny about this stand up routine. So maybe you guys have a clue about it.
Maybe if he would just take a few pictures shirtless with the audience behind him, it would help him. Because I've never. Oh yeah, I have seen like 100 of those. That's right. No, I'm tired of his. I don't know. I don't think he's funny. I'm sorry. I know.
I just don't get it.
Am I the only one?
Be more funny.
No, people love him. I will admit, I'm just stupid and I don't get him.
No, you're not stupid. Mark, I think I've told this story before, but I went to the Bert Kreischer show. He was doing minor league baseball parks. He came to Rochester. Mm-hmm. But it was only because Dave Attell was on the show.
Yeah.
And Big Jay Oakerson. So Bert goes, he's the headliner, and we left and walked to Jazz Fest because I'm like, this sucks. Let's get out of here. He's not a good comedian.
Bert headlines ahead of Dave Attell?
Yeah, it's insane. It makes no sense. Dave Attell's way better.
Yeah, I understand he's enormously successful. In fact, somebody said he's going to make $25 million this year. I was like, holy shit. Is he still telling those ridiculous fake stories? Is that what he does?
He's also starring in a movie that's coming out, The Machine, with Luke Skywalker playing his father.
Yeah. Well,
I got to hand it to him. I mean, he's doing something right. It just doesn't appeal to me. But I'm really curious to hear Carl's analysis. Maybe I just haven't given him a fair chance.
So he was on Fly on the Wall. Now, of course, this is the podcast with Dana Carvey and David Spade.
Oh, boy.
So I want to start off because I like David Spade. I used to like Dana Carvey. Now that he has a podcast, not so much. So I want to start off with my track number one. This is the banter, because what these two guys do is before the interview, they have to do that thing where they chat about the interview you're about to hear. I don't know why that's a thing. But anyway, so they get on and they start talking about it. And this is total amateur hour. Dana Carvey makes the worst joke possible. Talk about penis size.
By the way, Dana, well, I got a lot of good feedback from the Brendan Fraser show.
Oh, okay.
What and was this it? Producer even said, he was in the whale. You should do a movie about your dick called The Minnow. And I go, well, I don't know. I got the podcast. I got so much going on right now.
Why would the producer have an opinion about the size of your appendage? Is it guesswork based on thumb size?
He says, don't get mad. I'm just brainstorming. I go, all right, well, listen, there's no bad ideas.
Yeah, he told me the same thing. He told me I should have a special called Big Cock. And I go, I don't work blue, but
big
I said that's
cock
kind of,
and little pubes.
It's Big Cock on Netflix.
Okay.
David Spade is funny. He goes, oh, I should do a show called Minnow, you know, about my penis. Like, that's funny.
Yeah.
And Dana Carvey just ruins it with Big Cock, lowest hanging fruit possible.
It's one of these shows that does extremely well because you have two big names. They're both funny in their own way. I think Spade is really funnier to me, and probably to you too. And they get huge guests, but I don't feel like Spade and I don't feel together. They don't feel chemical to me at all.
Right. And listen, I have to rag on David Spade a little bit here, and I like the guy.
I do too.
He was telling a story. There's a lot of talk about flying on airplanes on this episode. And so David Spade's talking about how he recently flew in coach on a commercial airline.
Oh, no.
God.
I know. Can you imagine?
Oh,
so track number two, this is pretty lame.
No, I think they got confused because when I got to the gate, I go, put me in, coach. And then they go, okay. And I go, no, I didn't mean put me in coach.
Oh. Whew,
oh, boy. He was just singing a John Fogerty song like we all do, walking up to the gates.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, do you think anybody that ever has worked at a gate at an airplane at an airport has ever heard that before? It's such a dumb joke. I guarantee you there's been plenty of guys that have used that.
Does it almost sound like this show needs a studio audience or something? People to kind of chuckle along with them? Because there's some jokes that are not just falling flat, but it's almost utter painful silence.
Well, how long is their podcast? And how often do they
an
do
hour
it?
Or so, I think. But
really?
This one was an hour 40. This was a long one.
Oh, sometimes they just edit them out.
When you put two or three comedians in a show together, it can work really well, or it can work where they're trying to compete for bad punchlines. Yeah. Everything has to be a punchline. Oh, it just can be
thanks.
Really painful.
Oh, that was such like a that. Painful joke. That was worse than Dana's.
Yeah. All right. So now Bert joins the show. And the thing about Bert that annoys me is his energy level. It's over the top. It's too much. And they're talking about how in order to fly, both Dana Carvey and Bert Kreischer need to drink on an airplane. Okay. So this is my track number three. Bert loses his mind over this.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you something. Jack on the rocks, lots of rocks.
I
That's
only
my
drink beer,
drink.
But my wife only wants coffee. So she'll get coffee and a Heineken.
How the fuck did we marry these dead inside human beings who can have a cup of coffee and not respect the fragility of life?
For me, she orders a Heineken for herself.
Oh, hold on. Me, you, and Ric Flair. Hold on. I swear to God, I'm sitting next to
I drink mine and hers, and then I put both empty bottles on her tray and go, I can't stop her. She's the lush.
Dana, I've never connected more with a human being other than my wife than you right now.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's annoying.
I get wanting to be on, like you're on a show or something, but relax. Just tell your story. It's fine. Well, listen.
Well, can't you match the energy of everybody else there, too?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Dana and David are both very laid-back people.
Well, he seems to find jokes funnier than anyone else finds them, too. I mean, he can laugh for a long, long time. Really, really hard.
Somebody on my show said maybe he has too good of a sense of humor. I forgot who said that. Kreischer has too good of a sense of humor. He finds everything funny. But, Mark, I'm glad you said that because, actually, as the show goes on, Bert calms way down. And I thought I was going to be pulling all these clips of him and laughing hysterically and all the stuff that he usually does. But, actually, he's not over the top on this. And I think it's because David and Dana are kind of like, hey, man, we're just having a conversation. Relax.
Okay. All right.
So that's a good point. Now, my track number four, I only pulled because I thought you guys would get a kick out of this. David is talking about doing radio phoners because Bert's telling the story about how he got famous from the Rolling Stone article, and he was doing all these morning shows and calling in. And I thought David Spade's take on this was really funny.
Do you ever do a phoner for a radio station? They go, hold, please. All right, when we come back, you're going to be on with Zippy, Cuckoo, a bird, a parakeet, a robot, and Jim Jim. He's going to be in the helicopter. All right, you're on. And I go, what's this? It's the Zoo Crew. Go, go. And I'm like, who am I talking to?
They've had caffeine for 3 hours.
Yeah, and they're like,
it's Tommy and the Bull. It's usually a guy and an animal.
Tommy and the Bull. That must be a show.
Oh, man, I was that guy.
There's a sports show out of Buffalo called Shopin' the Bulldog. So I was just like, oh, yeah, I know. I know what they're talking about.
Oh, jeez.
Sports show called Doug and Scott the Gator Anderson. So.
Are shows getting different now, though? Because I hear these shows, these morning shows, they're on the cover of Radio Inc. And I go, okay, what's this show that's so important it's on the cover of Radio Inc.? And I'll go and listen. And what a lot of them are doing now is at the top of the hour, they introduce the whole staff.
Every show does that now. I don't get that at all.
It's so lame.
On the radio.
I feel like I'm just so disconnected from that audience because I don't. Do they like that? They must like it if everyone's doing it, or is that just.
I have a theory on this one, Drew.
Yes.
I think AI is going to take over as radio personalities. Literally. Anthony Kubi was talking about this the other day. They literally have AI as radio personalities. Mm-hmm. They know the local news. They can talk about it during the breaks. They can bring up things that are happening.
There's a big story recently about the company that has come up with it. And, of course, right off the bat, the company goes, well, our aim isn't to get rid of the DJs. I'm like, that's exactly what this is, though. This is the point.
I would like to voice my own show.
I'm not sure we'll notice the difference, to be honest.
Right, so that's probably why they're introducing people on these shows. They're going, this guy's a person, this woman's a person, this guy's a person. Oh, that's different.
Cool. Oh, boy.
All right, so Bert is telling the story about coming up as a comedian. He moved up to Boston and was part of the Boston comedy scene. And apparently, according to Bert, Will Smith invited him to go see a movie. Like, Will Smith took to him and said, hey, man, you want to come and see a movie? And Bert's dad was like, dude, I think Will wants to fuck you. So it's like this weird conversation. And then Dana Carvey brings up this inside joke that nobody understands. Boy. It's so bizarre. This is my track number 5.
We're overalls with a sweater over
not
top.
Sexy,
the overalls.
Not sexy.
And
I think you ruined it right there. You have a Hooter clamp, which is sort of a chastity belt for men.
What's funny
it's called a Hooter clamp.
What's a Hooter clamp?
It's a chastity belt for men. I'm making this up. It was a running gag with my friends in college.
I like Hooter
clamp. You're wearing
clamp.
A Hooter clamp? Hooter clamp just sounds funny. Run with it. You got a special out of it.
You're not talking to your friends in college, though. So why is everybody going to know what the fuck you're talking about?
What's great is that they dismiss that and just move right on after good. That. They're like, yeah, whatever. So what happened? You guys went to the movie.
How stupid.
Talking about Dana.
That's a 40-year-old inside reference.
Yeah, right.
It's like Hot LNA or what is it? Late Night Action?
Yeah, Late Night Action.
There you go.
Yeah, but you've explained that.
Oh, right. I think people understand.
This next track is track number 6. It starts with the famous Bert laugh, which is annoying. And they're talking about why podcasts are better than television because they're more real. Television is so scripted and everything they're going to say. But then Bert explains that these guys actually treat it more traditionally. Like this show is actually more of a traditional type of show and they cut things out. And I guess he was on a show with them once and they cut out him talking shit about Britney Spears.
What?
Yeah, listen to
really?
This.
Really?
We're just thinking.
No, you're good about that. You're good. I remember saying
that's
something
gonna
shitty
trend.
About
we don't
Britney
trend,
Spears,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You pulled it out of your show, and you whispered to me, "We'll pull that out."
Oh, and about Britney, yeah.
Because you were like, "You're like, I don't know," but I remember you saying, "Yeah, I don't like shitting on people because it doesn't." And I heard you say that. My whole thing was talking shit on podcasts.
Yeah.
And then one day I was like, "I'm going to go on Rogan, and I'm not going to shit on anybody."
That's boring.
What? Britney Spears? Why? What's so sacred about Britney Spears?
I don't know.
Isn't that insane? I think
that's
he's talking
weird.
About when Spade had the late night show on Comedy Central that was underrated.
It was a great show.
Yeah, it was a great show. I agree.
Wow, but, that's pathetic. They cut the... you're not allowed to be critical of anyone?
Well,
what
do you
they
think a lot of that has to do with maybe Spade realizing, hey, I shouldn't... I shouldn't insult so many people following the Eddie Murphy debacle.
Yeah, but it always used to be that you don't pull any punches if you're a comic, right? Everybody's fair game.
No, it sounds incredibly soft. You're afraid to insult Britney Spears. Oh, is that because of the Free Britney movement and because she was enslaved for 13 years? Oh,
bullshit.
Is he buying into that? Oh, come on. Oh, that's just...
Hey, guys, I want to make a quick announcement on your show. I'm no longer going to talk shit about the podcasts.
Yeah, that's right.
For the error of my ways.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, that leaves so much material for you, though. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Could you imagine? I remember I went on the Dick show the first time, and his co-host Sean, Dick was explaining my show to him, and Sean goes, "Oh, so he like recommends what shows to listen to and tells you what's good?" And Dick goes, "No. God. He just rips on everyone." So my track number 7 is a quick one. It's just Bert's telling the story. And he catches himself in a lie, and then immediately goes, "Oh shit, never mind."
People assume a lot about me not knowing me. They think I'm drunk every time I'm on stage. Mm-hmm. I've never drink on stage. I never drink on stage. I mean, I have, obviously.
So it's so easy to prove that that's not true.
Why say such a stupid
thing? I've seen him with a beer on stage.
Yeah. Well, right after that, he tells the story that he used to do these call-in sick-to-work shows. He would go on AM radio. He'd be drinking beer on AM radio and say, "Come to the comedy club at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m., and I'm going to do a show. We're all going to get drunk." And so everyone would show up, and they would get day drunk. So it's like, why would you say I never get drunk on stage when that's been like your whole thing?
Wow.
He's known for being a partier.
Getting drunk with Bert Kreischer at 10 in the morning does not sound like fun to me.
It sounds exhausting.
Sounds so fucking exhausting.
I think around 2 o'clock, I'm going to really regret it.
Yeah. All right. So now he's talking about his comedy tour, and he's doing arenas now. Like, Bert's huge. It's huge. Insane.
Massive.
And I find this annoying because, look, there's no rules to comedy. I'm not going to sit here and say like, "Oh, well, you can't reuse material that everybody knows." Like, I saw Carlin back in the day, and Carlin would do this 50-50 thing where you do 50% of stuff that you've already seen from his specials, and the 50% was new stuff. I get it. You know, it's hard to do a whole new hour every time you go out. But Bert is doing this completely wrong. Track number 8, he talks about, you know, he's really famous for The Machine. That's what caught. He got viral from that. And he talks about how he's still doing it to this day.
Oh boy. Like a greatest hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did it in Pittsburgh the other day. In Pittsburgh, I did PPG Paints Arena. 12,000 people.
12,000 people.
Yeah. And I started The Machine story, and they gave me a standing ovation. And so I'm like, well, I don't think I'm ready to retire.
Well, it's like a hit song. It's like, Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
Yeah, but it's not. It's a joke, a dumb story joke, right? Yeah.
And if everybody knows comedy,
comedy and music is very different. And I know comedians hate that because they want to just like come up with like 12 awesome hits and just do that forever, which musicians can do. But comics, you can't get away with that shit.
The audience giving him a standing ovation when he starts a story that they've heard a million times, that's so, I wouldn't repeat that. I would find that embarrassing. That makes his audience sound stupid.
You think?
Yeah, really stupid.
I think you might be right about
I don't want people to know how dumb my audience is. That's really dumb. I mean, starting a joke like a song? No, not even close.
So Bert goes on, and my track number 9, he compares himself to Wilco. I think it's the wrong angle here.
What? I think I would love to do a tour. I was thinking about doing a tour where I put all my put my cities on sale, and then put all my old bits for like 30 minutes worth of old bits,
and then go
because Wilco did that,
like audience vote,
and go pick what songs you want to hear. Yeah. Wilco did that, and it was fucking cool as shit. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't mind. I now that I know the set list for Minneapolis, I'll fly to Minneapolis to hear that set.
Wow. Wait a second, they're gonna ask for jokes?
Yes,
request jokes they already know. Oh, man.
Yep. He's going to do his greatest hits, and then you can, like, I'm in Rochester, New York, and I'm going to fly to Minneapolis because I'm going to see him do The Machine, and I'm going to see him do drug overdose, gag. And, you know, it's like, no, that's how that works. Like, if I see a set list that Wilco's going to do, and I'm like, oh, that's sick, I'm going to go. I would go to that for sure. It's very different. Oh,
my God. That's bizarre. That's ridiculous. Again, I wouldn't admit that. I feel like that's demeaning to people's intelligence.
Guys, I'm going to be at the Magic Bag September 15th, and we're going to do the show that we did last year again. The exact same show.
Oh, David, Chuck.
Krause gave us a standing ovation.
Everyone loved it last year.
Running the same clips of Dave and Chuck as last year.
Why not?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Is that? Oh, wow.
It's Friday, bitches. So the last clip that I have on here, and honestly, this show, I was surprised because I listened to the whole episode. I was actually listening on the plane and pulling clips, and I thought, oh, I'm going to have 20 clips 20 minutes in. And there was really kind of nothing. There wasn't a lot going on. It wasn't an interesting conversation. But Bert is talking about how big he's gotten and how he's able to tour Canada and Australia and Europe because there's all these podcast fans who know about him now. And this is just a dumb thing. I don't think he's trying to be funny here. I just think Bert's a dumb guy.
I'm laughing to myself because Carl titles these. I purposely do not want to listen to them before he's on because I don't want to ruin them. But this title, it just made me laugh. So I'll play it and tell you what the title is.
Now, Ireland's the fucking shit.
I can do Ireland. I can do parts of Bulgaria.
It's not half bad, man.
Ireland is really the best stand-up comedy town ever.
Dublin.
Fucking ever.
The title of the clip is Ireland is a great town.
I was going to say, isn't he calling Ireland a town?
It's the best town. It's not just a town, Drew. It's the best town.
I'm really bummed, too, because I think Spade had a throwaway thing like I'm huge in Bulgaria, which is just a funny name, a funny place to say. And it just goes by everybody. It's so dumb.
Is it possible that Bert does really appeal to the lowest, something below the lowest common denominator? Is that possible? Maybe.
Well, look at him. I mean, come on. What more do you want?
I'll tell you what, Drew, the listeners of the Drew and Mike podcast, if you like Bert Kreischer, email the show along with your IQ. Because we just want to do a quick study
on
this.
That's a great idea.
The guy that was in my wedding, my best man at my wedding, likes him. He's like, come on, he's in town. I'm like, no, I don't find him funny. I don't want to go see him.
I know, that is always weird when you find out.
It really made me sad that Matt liked him.
A friend or a girlfriend likes someone and it really makes you question their whole personality.
Oh, yeah. Made me question my friendship.
I think Bert Kreischer can do that for me if somebody likes him. That's gonna be really tricky to negotiate the future.
So you brought up a good point that there was a funny line by David there, but Dana at that same time, because they're all talking over each other and shoehorning things. Dana does this weird Irish accent thing. Yeah, play that clip again if you still have it.
I got to go back to it. But yeah, that was terrible. And everybody can do an Irish accent, right? You just make the T-H as a hard T.
Yeah.
Ireland's the fucking shit.
I can do parts of Bulgaria.
It's not half bad, man.
Ireland is
really
the best.
It's not half bad, man. That's not Irish.
To me, it looks like a leprechaun to me.
Parts of Bulgaria. See, I heard it the second time, and the joke's even better because it's not Bulgaria. It's parts of Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Which is a great city. Bulgaria is a fantastic comedy city.
He's really making fun of Kreischer, isn't he?
Yes, that's why it's funny.
Rename your city, asshole.
Leading up to that is Bert going, yeah, I just did Australia. I did a whole tour. And then I was in, and he's like naming off all of these different countries. He's like, oh, I'm in Scandinavia, Germany. And that's what's a really funny line.
But,
I don't think he's reading the room very well because that has to be annoying to two guys that can't draw like that anymore who are really probably a lot funnier than he ever was.
Yeah.
I think.
Spade does well, I think.
Yeah, he does. And he is. He's really, I mean, neither one of them have anything to be ashamed of, and I'm sure they can do very well, but just this guy who's much younger, who's just on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like having him on probably is hard enough for them without hearing about incredible success.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
Guys, I don't want you to get nervous, but, you know, I'm on vacation right now, so this is actually going to be the midweek episode of Who Are These Podcasts.
What?
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is a big deal right now, what we're doing. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
That. Do you need the YouTube video? I think it looks great today. Everyone loves YouTube here.
Wait, you're using all the accoutrements, the jingle going in and that stuff?
Oh, yeah. We also did, I was on the Dick Show this week, too. So I'm going to combine those two things together and put that out as the podcast. Oh, okay.
So Dick can share. Dick can share the blame, too.
Share the blame. This is great so far. What are you talking about? Aside from Brandon fucking up YouTube, this is great.
Cringe of the week. Cringe of the week. Oh.
Poor Brandon.
Wait, why is there all this sympathy for him? I told you he has nothing to do with YouTube. You don't ever have to think about YouTube. Watch video. It has nothing to do with you, Brandon.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
There's zero sympathy.
I understand. I'm not asking for sympathy.
YouTube sucks. It really does.
It's the worst.
I remember watching, like, even Joe Rogan back in the day when he was on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd be like, hey, play that clip. He's like, oh, don't play that. We can't play that because of YouTube. It's like, it's all these fucking rules you got to know about. It's annoying.
Yeah, that's a different problem than what we've been having.
What?
We get a lot of problems.
What kinds of, what kind of clips was Joe unable to play?
Copyrighted music all is the big
thing. Oh, just music, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. That's what kills everything.
You think you would figure that out and not have to yell it so often? I mean, that covers a lot of ground.
Speaking of music, guys, David Lee Roth is back with season number 2 of The Roth Show. Yes.
All right. Woo.
Yay! All right, guys, get excited because nobody has more energy than a 68-year-old David Lee Roth. I'm not even saying that as a joke. This guy's ridiculous.
Boy, put him and Kreischer in the same room. That'd be kind of cool.
Yes. Oh,
no.
God.
No.
We'd out energy each other. That'd be insane. All right, my track number 11, I want to start off with the theme song because I swear to God, and I don't remember if this was his theme song before. It didn't sound familiar to me. This sounds like a Steel Panther song to me. You know, like Death to All But Metal?
Yeah.
Where they're reminiscing about like old rock band stuff. Listen to this song. Is David Lee Roth? You know that we need him more than ever now. Where is David Lee Roth? You know that we need him more than ever now.
Ugh, God, who has ever said awful. We need David Lee Roth more than ever now?
That's, we need him.
That's bizarre. Who is that? Who does that song?
Probably David Lee Roth. I don't know.
I'm sure I assumed it would be him, but it wasn't his voice, was it?
No, it wasn't him saying it.
No way.
Carl, have you heard him? He's redoing old Van Halen songs, but with just 60 or 72-year-old David Lee Roth and other musicians. I don't even know why he's doing it. They sound.
I heard you guys playing that the other day, and I'm a huge Van Halen fan. The mix is weird, and you can't. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people who could play Eddie Van Halen licks these days.
Sure,
which is impressive. Trust me, I've tried. Very impressive, but you can't capture the tone that he had. Eddie Van Halen was so unique for his time, not just for his playing, but the sound that he got out of his guitar and that equipment that he had back then. You can't duplicate. It doesn't make any sense to me.
But
that they would. Obviously, it's a money grab.
That's why I. But he only gets like 25,000 views for those. I mean, it just seems. I'm not sure what the point is at all because he's much older.
The his opportunity voice can't for licensing be as good. Too. You know, I mean, having that song, he can always have it in his catalog. If anybody
wants to hear it, I mean, if I just don't, wants to hear it.
I don't think he's making a lot of money off it. I would think the loss in prestige from clearly sounding not as good as Van Halen or even David Lee Roth when he originally recorded it would make it not worth it, but I'm not David Lee Roth. So
can I ask you guys a music question, or you particularly, Drew, because I know you like U2, but it popped up on Spotify, the Songs of Surrender that YouTube is. What is this about?
They're reimagining their greatest hits.
Gay.
And
well, I mean, I've listened to a few. They're very different. So I guess that's neat.
Can you play one? I'm just curious. Play something we'd all know.
Do you literally want to hear one?
Hello, hello.
I mean, that's how one starts.
They're all slower, aren't they? And sort
yes.
of.
Yes. Here, I'll jump forward. I also want to describe it as Bono is like really close to the mic and singing very softly. You act like you never had love. And you sounds terrible, too. Me to go without. Yeah, it's really.
I just
weird.
Don't know what the point.
But at least it's
what is
different.
The point? Are they trying to appeal to the Boyce Avenue audience?
I don't know. I like you too. I was just really surprised listening to it. They're, I don't know.
You know what that sounds like when in the 90s when bands were doing Unplugged?
Yeah,
they were able to play a different version of their song. Sometimes it was really cool, like Sex Type Thing. I remember STP doing. It was like this really cool ragtime kind of feel, and I was like, oh. That's a neat take on that. Like that makes sense. You're doing it live. You're doing it on acoustic guitars. But
all those grunge bands. Remember Nirvana and Alice in Chains has a really good one. But it's all because nobody thought these grunge guys could do stuff acoustically. Because God forbid they're real musicians.
Well, I enjoyed most of them, actually. The few of them that didn't work out as well, but even the Stones did. It wasn't Unplugged, but they had an album called Stripped in 95. Yeah, it's excellent. It's good album. And those guys play so well, and it's a different sound, it's a different feel, but I thought it was fantastic. This doesn't sound like Unplugged to me. It sounds lesser than Unplugged.
It was really weird, and they're from that great town of Ireland.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So stupid.
Yeah, where Bert Kreischer does so well, too.
That's right.
Bert Kreischer and you too. Kill it there.
Way to bring it back. So David Lee Roth, I mean, you guys have heard his show before. And what he does on the podcast now is he is pretty much pretending he's a radio DJ and he's talking up songs because it just like he does a talk up and then he plays like a David Lee Roth song no one's ever heard before. A talk up and then I think, all right, so my track number 12. This is him doing an impression of a DJ in the 70s. Now, I didn't listen to a lot of FM radio in the 70s, so you tell me if this is a good impression or not.
All righty.
Late 70s DJ. Hopping and popping and popping with the best bet for the boss beat at the top of the pop smash. Go! Shout, Dave! Plays the bracket. 1978. The top of the Pops movie, one of the top three, was Animal House. And you know the part where the whole thing going, shake, little bit loud now, shake, little bit loud now,
shout,
shake, a bit softer now. And it focuses on Belushi's face. And you know these faces, these is really famous. And we'll call that sing-along. The roof, the roof, the roof is on fire.
What the hell are you talking about?
I don't know anyone. You know, Peter Wolf used to do kind of a rappy thing when he was on WBCN in Boston, but I thought it was horrible for one, and I don't think David Lee Roth ever heard that. And well, nobody sounded like that.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like when David Lee Roth did Dave TV for his solo career on MTV.
Yeah.
They play the Dave TV drops in the show. So, yes.
I'm just going to say this, too. As stupid as it is, that's why I like David Lee Roth. It's so fucking dumb, but it's fun. It's nonsense. Dumb.
Yeah. I know. And it's kind of
nonsense.
It's kind of funny that he thinks it's so good and everyone else knows it sucks. So that makes it kind of fun, too. He's not deterred even slightly.
Well, what's crazy is someone's doing the production on this stuff. So somebody is listening to this and putting this together. Play my track number 17. Listen to the production and the energy level. It's insane.
I recollect when I mentioned to Warner Brothers Records back in the early 80s, I said, I think there's going to be Spanish-speaking rock and roll stations, and I think they're going to have their own dance stations and everything on top of mariachi or calidad style. And they laughed at me.
What a brilliant trendsetter he is. He's psychic.
Have you looked at his YouTube channel? It's nuts. I mean, there's a ton of production on his the shows, the video shows.
Yeah. Well, I like the production.
That's just a stinger. Like he has like a car crash segue.
That's a great car. I love the car crash.
It kind of reminds me of like Ted Williams when he does his stingers.
That's right.
But it just segued right into that.
Yep.
Wow. Hey,
Mark, you brought up a good point, or maybe it was you, Drew, and I didn't even pick up on this, but yeah, it's the song is Shout in Animal House. That's the Bills song.
He's yelling
and
shake.
He was yelling shake. He doesn't even know the song.
That's Otis Redding's song.
He's going to re-record it to shake.
Shake a little bit louder now. Shake a little bit louder now.
Shake you want to shake. Make you want to shake. Everybody, shake.
The shake.
All right. My track number 13, this is going to explain a lot about DLR's ridiculous Las Vegas residency.
Oh, okay, good.
We played clips from it. He could no longer sing on that thing. It was so bad.
And the worse you sing it, the cooler it is, especially if you're driving and your girlfriend is there or your sisters and they're completely out of tune and it's hilarious.
Oh, so he was doing a comedy show. No. Well, that makes sense. Now I get it.
Well, he's sitting in the corner of a library yelling that stuff out. Where the fuck is he when he's doing that? It looks bizarre.
Oh, that was just showing the video. Yeah, who knows where he is?
Yeah, he's like crouched. He's not, doesn't even have a chair, and he's just like belting stuff out in what looks like a library. It's just weird.
But he's got good production on his video.
He's got sunglasses on inside, always.
Big old smile on his face.
Did anybody watch the video for the Wilson Pickett song, Mustang Sally? It's a really edited video of him just doing all kinds of wacky little dancing and stuff.
Now I want to watch it. That sounds awesome.
At some point.
Carly.
Carl's got his sunglasses on.
All right. It's ridiculous.
Aviators.
All right, guys, my track number 14 here.
So, Carl just got intercut with a shot of David Lee Roth in his sunglasses.
We're just adorable. Cool, we're just cool guys in bands, you know, being DLR. So my track number 14 here, what I like about this, and I didn't edit this together. This is how the show actually comes off. So David Lee Roth like tells this joke, has this punchline, and then he has this thing that he follows it up with. And I feel like if he was a stand-up, this could actually be a good play for him.
True to my own autobiographic, okay? I'm only part black, considering what Kanye is saying, okay? He says he's Jewish. Great. I'm black. Why do I have to wake up and discover that I'm a woman? I didn't. People get away with that all the time. I woke up and discovered I was Kanye West.
It's like, remember that guy Alonzo Hamburger Jones? Like you say the punchline, you're like, hey, hamburger. Like David Lee Roth's up there, he's like, ha ha ha, hey.
It's his own personal rim shot.
Yeah, right.
It has to work with that rim shot.
I love how his mind works. I don't know what it's doing, but it's working. Oh my God, all over the place.
The Robin Williams of music.
Oh my Lord.
I wish I understood what the fuck he was talking about. Because he's perfect. Like he's onto something.
He's so ridiculous. I love him. He's great.
So then he starts talking about hanging out with Eddie Van Halen when they were kids and Eddie was writing some of the riffs. They're like, you're hanging out in Eddie's bedroom and Eddie's writing the riffs that would become these huge iconic songs. And my track number 15, David explains what his contribution was to early Van Halen.
My contribution frequently was emotional content. I think we could probably summarize it as, you got to keep moving, baby. You got to keep moving, baby. Or you get left behind. You know I never lied to you.
What? You gotta keep moving, baby.
What?
That's right into a song right there. Like that was his segue into a song. So this is my question to you guys. Does David know what the fuck he's talking about?
I don't think he was contributing or helping Eddie at all by doing that.
He had the PA.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta keep moving, baby. You gotta keep moving. Shut up!
All right, my last clip on here, my track number 16. David's going to explain what changed with the internet, because the internet changed all of our lives, obviously. I mean, here we are on YouTube, yes. All of us.
Okay.
So this is a different take than I've heard from anyone else about this.
Now that we have the internet, Brazil is constantly in the news. Whether it's championship bull riders, what could be more American than Texas Cowboy bull riding competition? And it's all Brazilian champions that are up there in top place. South American culture in general through the grid, the internet, Facebook. There's a whole interconnectivity. When back when I was in high school, you had KWKW, one radio station that maybe was news half the time and sombreros style.
Oh man, I have a feeling David Lee Roth somehow liked something and told an algorithm, hey, give me nothing but Brazilian news.
That's all it is.
And he's like, man, he opens up his phone. Oh, no, well, another story about Brazil, huh?
I don't know nothing, what he's talking about. Nothing. Ever.
Nothing has ever happened in Brazil until the internet got big. What the hell, man?
Guys, I got to say, this show is hard to clip only because I don't know when he's finished a thought. I'm like, is it stopped now? Do I stop it now? Does he still go? Is this the same thing that he was talking about before? I have no idea.
We had Roth in studio, what was that, around 2003, 2004, or something like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he came in with this band, and he had these ridiculous stories that led into every song, kind of like Bruce Springsteen used to do, like every 10th song when you saw him live. And you thought you were interviewing him, and all of a sudden he would go off on the story, and the band would start playing.
Right.
And Mike and I had a list. We probably had 40 questions. We were so excited to have Roth in the studio. I think we asked two questions. Because first of all, he doesn't answer anything.
Doesn't listen.
And then he just starts talking about whatever he wanted to talk about anyway.
But it was like a lounge act, remember? Because you'd be like, David, you got a lot of money. You buy houses. And he was like, I got a house in L.A. and I got a house in Panama. And then we'd just start playing Panama. It was really bizarre.
The bongos would start up.
Really odd.
You guys played at the end of, I think, Brandon tagged on to the end of an episode last time I was on here talking about David Lee Roth. I listened to it.
It is so funny.
And it's hysterical. It's so frustrating. Because listening to it from your perspective, you know, I know Mike Clark's sitting there as a huge Van Halen fan.
Oh, yeah.
He's taking a word in.
Right.
It's so insane.
No kidding.
And he never stops. If he does answer a question, he'll be talking. He'll be answering the question for like 4 or 5 minutes. By the time he's 4 or 5 minutes in, he's talking about something entirely different, and then you're just lost.
Yeah. I just had an idea for a viral video someone can make. A conversation between Gene Simmons and David Lee Roth. Like, those two guys having a conversation. Like, place that together and see what that looks like.
Oh, man.
Woo!
Oh, God, he's the best. I love him.
No, he is.
I'll admit it, I love him.
Fantastic rock front man.
I enjoy him, too. I mean,
so
when
stupid.
We used to play the audio from his Vegas shows, because he had some horribly corny one-liners.
Jokes, yeah.
We laughed hysterically. They were so bad, and he delivered them with such confidence.
There was something that worked about it.
I don't know. So, Carl, what's Chad? The Chad Zumach story, I have to admit, that was really one of the most exciting running things I've heard in a long time from story one, when he, you know,
yes.
I got to call the police, guys, I got to get off the show, to the emergency with the big black eye at 3:30 in the morning, to then defending that for a couple days. Then the whole news story, which the news story is so stupid and not believable. It's worse than the first story, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, Chad Zumach, this fucking guy, you know, we started talking about him back in like October, maybe November. And I was having people messaging me like, Carol, why are you talking about Chad? No one cares about this guy. He's become so fascinating. I don't even know how this happened. And I mentioned this on the show the other day. When we first started talking about Chad, he goes, you guys are trying to make me into the next Stuttering John. I am not the next Stuttering John. He is the next Stuttering John tenfold.
No,
he's become such a character because he's just lying all the time. He's making up all these ridiculous stories. Even his friends hate him. It's insane what's going on
with
this guy.
The story arc over the last like 6 episodes of WATP alone regarding it is just batshit crazy to me, and how other markets are getting involved. Rover's Morning Glory had a fantastic takedown of Chad Zumach that you featured on one of your shows.
Rover did like 5 days in a row on this guy. They're like, they can't believe what he's saying. He's so stupid.
It's overwhelming to try to explain it. The Rover Morning Glory thing was that in 2014 or 15, he got beat up and he claimed, they said, this is for Rover. And he had just, you know, this latest punch out, he claimed, what do you say? Don't mess with Kumia!
Don't fuck with Kumia!
People are just jumping him every 6 or 7 years on behalf of some show that's sick of him.
He was Jussie Smollett before Jussie Smollett. I can't believe it. Ahead of his time.
But would you identify the show that you were jumping someone for? Because that seems like it assesses blame towards
them.
This
is for Dave and Chuck the Freak!
I was just going to say, that's what I'd say. I'd choose a different show. She's a competitor, man. Come on.
I mean, it wasn't believable. I remember I called into Anthony's show that next day after he made that accusation, and we were laughing about it because it just seemed so implausible, and he was sticking by his guns. And then because this other show, this Nobody Likes Onion show, was calling the police department and calling hospitals and seeing if any of this was true.
Freedom of information.
So then Chad had to fess up and admit that he was lying about all of it, which only led to him creating new lies that he's already changed the story multiple times on. It's insane. He's a bad liar.
Yeah, and then he says he's proud of it because everyone's talking about him. So look how wonderful work I did for Misery Loves Company and all this. It's like, no, it's bizarre. Really crazy content. Where do you go from here anyway? That's the problem.
Well, he was proud of himself because he's like, everyone's talking about me. And then there's this guy, Ray DeVito, who's a comedian out of Cleveland, and they grew up together, and well, in comedy anyway. And then Ray DeVito talks about Chad from time to time on shows. And Chad's like, all you do is talk about me, Ray. It's like, what did you want to have happen? You lied on the internet, you got caught. We're talking about it. What do you want?
Isn't he getting the Stuttering John treatment too, where people are fucking with him saying, oh my God, Ray DeVito said that you had sex with your sister or something like that. Ray DeVito, I can't believe he said I had incest. I mean, he's acting like everyone's telling him the truth when they're fucking with him. And he gets all mad.
He believes everything that anyone tells him on the internet. And it's so funny because he's a pathological liar. We've obviously made that very clear between myself, Rover, some other people. Chad is lying all the time. And so, you know how we know he's lying, his lips are moving. So it's funny because then he'll read something on Reddit and come on the show and he goes, guess what I just found out, guys? It's like, this is a random Redditor who wrote that. What do you mean? So stupid.
Wow. I'm kind of slightly worried about him because he was saying stuff like, I could buy a house next to Carl. I got lots of money. I could buy a house. I don't want to buy a house because I don't want to do maintenance and I don't want to have a car, but I could buy a car. Where is he making income? How could he possibly have much income?
Well, so he's doing this thing, this show called Kumia's Cucks, and I'm one of the major subjects out there.
Oh, yeah, you're one of the cucks.
Oh, flattering.
Yeah. So he makes fun of me. He makes fun of this guy, Aaron Imholt from Steel Toe in Minnesota, Chrissy Mayer, a few other people. People give him super chats. Now, most people are watching or hate watching him and trying to get him riled up. But people are giving him $2, $3, $5 at a time. And so he's like never made more money in his life. Yeah. He's very proud of himself.
What? How much would he make in the course of a show doing super chats? I mean, a couple $100?
I'd have to watch the show to know the answer to that. I've not watched it. I don't know.
Nor will you.
No, I can't do that research.
I think I'm going to watch it and count up the money just for fun. Because he says that'd he could move in. He can move in right next door to you, Carl. He said it. I heard him say it.
Yeah. It's like, well, please report back to me.
I will.
When you find out. By the way, Chad, I'm buying my second house in Florida. That's why I'm in Florida. Go fuck yourself.
He doesn't want to buy a house, though. He doesn't want a house or a car.
He doesn't want to buy a house.
It's too much trouble. All right, Carl.
He's stupid. He's so stupid, though, Drew, because you know this. When you have a lot of money, because he keeps bragging about how much money he has, I have all this money, and he's like, well, I don't want to own a house, though, because then there's, like, maintenance. You hire people to do that. Do you think I'm mowing my lawn? I'm not mowing my lawn.
Of course. No, he's so ludicrous. He's ridiculous.
I'm not fixing my hot water tank. You hire people for that shit, Jen.
He wins every argument somehow. At least he thinks he wins every argument, but, of course, he doesn't. He doesn't win any argument. But I know you got, who are these socials for Thursday? And then who's your guest on Saturdays? Who are these podcasts?
Sunday for everybody else. Trucker Andy will be on Saturday on Who Are These Podcasts. Who Are These Socials? What I'm actually doing tomorrow, Wednesday. Wednesday at 6 on the Who Are These Podcasts channel because I'm flying back on Thursday, so I can't do that.
Okay.
I did want to say real quick, you guys were talking about Adam Sandler movies yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw 8 Crazy Nights in the theater as well.
I did.
Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only movie I've ever walked out of. I was so appalled. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. I was like, this is, I gave up on Adam Sandler after that. I haven't seen an Adam Sandler movie since then.
I went in thinking it was going to be a raunchy cartoon. And, you know, I was like, oh, this will be great. I love Adam Sandler. And then it was just a heartfelt Hanukkah story. And I was like, I don't know.
Oh, but hold on, but That's a Technical Foul is a great song, though, right?
That's a Technical Foul. Yeah, I remember that. That's the one thing that stuck with me. That's a Technical.
Okay, Carl, what about That's My Boy? Have you seen That's My Boy?
No, I haven't, but I know you speak very highly of it.
I wish you'd watch it.
I'd like it.
I'd love to hear your opinion. Yeah. I just think it's
very
so
underrated.
I just love the fact that Carl goes to see this movie. He's like, this is heartfelt. I'm out of here.
It's not heartfelt. It was trying to be funny. It wasn't. There's a scene where the guy gets in a port-a-john and then it falls down a hill and he's covered in poop. I'm like, this is terrible. South Park is way better than this. This sucks.
Did you see Hubie Halloween?
I like that one.
No. So you've given up. You've given up
on him. He was ruined by
it. It's over. Yeah. What? You didn't even see Uncut Gems?
Oh, God.
I have not watched Uncut Gems, but now I think I should, because we've been covering a lot of the Julia Fox stuff on Who Are These Socials, because she's all over TikTok.
She's interesting.
And it's, she's embarrassing.
She's so bad.
I was Josh Safdie's muse when he wrote Uncut Gems.
Right.
But you'll watch Uncut Gems, and she looks really hot in that. Because then I remember
she does. Remember I thought after, she was we're gorgeous.
Like, we're like, who is this hot piece of ass on here? But so you'll end up liking her and then hating Adam Sandler even
Uncut
more.
Uncut Gems.
Right.
That's the best she can look, honestly. Oh, she looks fantastic.
Without a doubt, it's the best she's ever looked.
All right, Carl, we'll be watching and listening, and enjoy the rest of your trip.
Yeah, hold on to your credit cards down there.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, guy. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate all right. you. See you, Carl.
When the charges first started showing up on my credit card, I thought, this is fucking fraud. But then I looked a little bit closer at what was being purchased. Beer, Jaeger, lube, Magnum condoms.
Not me.
Whippets, business cards. And that's when I realized you were leaving me a trail of fucking breadcrumbs.